Good morning and welcome back to another episode of season 3 of Motherhood on Mondays with me, your host, Jessica Olsom. Hi guys, welcome back. I have a podcast today that I want to share. And first and foremost, I just want to say this will be kind of a sensitive topic. So if you need a little trigger warning, we're going to be talking about miscarriage today. Obviously, I've talked about that many times in past podcasts, but today we're going to talk about different things people have said to me in the past of having experienced a miscarriage, and just give a little insight of how do you comfort someone who has gone through a miscarriage, because this is one of those really hard things that if you've never experienced, you just don't know. And, you know, I've had many instances where people have come back to me in the past and say, you know, I'm so sorry, I didn't understand, I wasn't more gracious with you. And my number one thing is, like, if you don't know, you don't know. You know, I'm always very gracious because people don't know, but it can be hard when you're going through a season. So today we're going to talk about things people have said to me in the past, things that are commonly said, and what you should say instead, or how you can be an encouragement to someone who is walking through a miscarriage. So, let's jump into it. So guys, we are just hitting the 1 month mark on having our miscarriage. And for the most part, I would say this last month has been good. I think I've handled it pretty well. And luckily, this time around, I feel like people have a lot more awareness around their words, with what to say and what not to say, to someone who has experienced a loss. But I had a loss 6 years ago, and I definitely had a lot more things said to me back then than nowadays, with some of the knowledge we have, that we would say, probably don't say that, probably hold off on that. And so I wanted to kind of share about some of the things I have been told in the past, why you shouldn't say those things, and just offer you guys some better options. Now, I'm not going to be able to get this right for every individual person and what their experience is, because people experience loss in so many different ways based on their personality and in how they grieve. So this is just based from my own experience and my personality. So if I say something that you're like, oh no, like that would be awful for me, just take it with a grain of salt. This isn't gonna apply to every single personality across the board. I'm probably gonna say some things that I didn't like that maybe you liked hearing. And if it was comforting to you, just know that's great and awesome. Don't let it not be comforting to you just because it wasn't comforting to me. So I think the first thing that people like said to me, and a lot of people said to me, was like, oh, well, there was something wrong with the baby. And first and foremost, it's just not helpful to say, oh, there was something wrong with the baby. Because first of all, that can send a mom down like an entirely different rabbit trail of trying to think of like the 100 million ways of like, what did I do wrong? Was it me? Was it my partner? Was it something I ate? Was it something I did? And that doesn't bring any comfort. That doesn't make anyone feel any better. So like you hear that kind of like said a lot in like talking points. And yes, that could be why, but it's not comforting to hear that. So just refrain from saying that, just because making comments about there being something wrong with the baby, it's not really helpful as a mom to hear, oh, there was something wrong with my baby. Like, and yes, maybe that is comforting to some people. Just in general, I would say, don't say that. Like, you know, God knew something was wrong with the baby. I hated when people would say, oh, well, God knew something was wrong with the baby, because it also like invites this line of thinking of like, you know, why did God do this? Even though we know that sin happens and it affects us, and the effects of sin are that we have pain and suffering in this, it's not good to connect those two, because God is with us in our suffering and in our sorrow, and he hurts with us when we experience those heartaches, even if they have been allowed to enter into our lives in the form of trials or suffering. Just don't say that. The second thing people said to me was that there are harder things in life to experience, or that this is not the worst thing that could happen to you. And it might not be the worst thing, and this is why it's not helpful. It might not be the worst thing, but this is the worst thing for me. And it kind of invalidates the person's own personal experience of like, this is the worst thing that I've gone through. I haven't gone through those other experiences. Yes, everyone experiences something that could be one-upped as worse, but don't invalidate someone's own worst experience just because there's someone else that could be suffering in a different way. And I just also want to share that by sharing these things that people have said to me, I don't in any way hold anything towards those people. I don't harbor any ill will, because something that I've quickly learned is like, you don't know what you don't know. And a lot of these people truly just don't know what to say in that moment. Now, yes, is it bitter and does it sting? Absolutely. But, you know, I try and give a lot of grace, because a lot of people aren't well acquainted with grief and with walking through these trials, even though that number has more than doubled over the years of people that will experience miscarriage. You don't know what you don't know. So I've always been very gracious in just letting it go and not letting it harbor bitterness and anger in me, because me harboring more bitterness and like anger because they should know didn't help me on with my journey. So for me, it's just best to be like, they don't know, give them grace. And you also pray they don't ever experience it. So don't say that to people. Don't say there are worse things you could experience. It's not helpful. The next thing that I was told was, well, at least you can have another baby. And that is also not helpful, because I don't want another baby. I wanted that baby. I wanted that baby to be the baby. No, I wanted to hold that one. I didn't want to have to walk through this incredibly hard experience of where now, you know, I was pregnant for 3 months, and now I have to walk through postpartum for however many months. And I also don't get to hold a baby. So yeah, I could have another baby, but not only is it a different timeline than I expected, but I wanted that baby. That baby was precious to me, and they were special to me. And so that's not helpful to say. So a lot of these things are very generic, but that's what a lot of people fall to, because it's just when you're unsure of what to say, you generally just kind of go for like the thing that slips out, and that's just what happens. The next thing people have said to me, and I can't tell you how many people have said this to me, and no one ever means this in a really ill meaning way. And, you know, I think I have let it casually even come out of my mouth. And someone told this to me. And I also had someone that had a miscarriage tell this to me, of like something that they didn't expect, was people would say, well, you're most fertile after your miscarriage, so you'll probably get pregnant right away. And people really don't mean this in like an ill way. They really mean it in like a way to give you hope. But it really is not actually helpful, because there is no guarantee that you will get pregnant right away. And I both have friends who have had losses where it took them years to get pregnant again, or I've had friends where it's taken months. Or like, for example, with me, with Charles, like it took me 3 or 4 months to get pregnant after I had my miscarriage. And that was because I had so many hormones in my system that I would wait for those hormones to go down. And when you tell someone like, you know, and I understand it's like giving hope, but it's also not necessarily like helpful to give false hope either. So it's just better to not say that or bring that talking point up. just because it's not a guarantee. And, you know, when people hear that all the time, it like kind of brings this expectation of like, oh, well, I'm super, super fertile. But then when that doesn't happen, it can be a really harsh reality to kind of deal with. And it's just not helpful. So what are some helpful things you can do when someone is experiencing a miscarriage? And what are some things you can say that are helpful, that are comforting? I'm not going to get this right for every woman. I'm just speaking from my experience here. I am so sorry. That sucks. Can I bring you dinner? Or just like, I am so sorry. That sucks. You are right. It is not fair that you had to experience losing your child on this earth. And I am here for you just to listen, whether that is you being angry, whether you need someone to yell at, whether you need someone to sit with you as you cry on my shoulder. I am just here for you, whatever you need. And then also beyond, you know, being there for that person to listen and just, you know, confirm, yeah, this sucks. Checking in on them and being there for them. And not necessarily, sometimes people don't want you to like ask, tell me what you need. Sometimes you just need to do things. Like, you know, even if it's just like, hey, I was thinking of you today. I don't know if you're up for visitors. I'm just going to leave this coffee on your porch and leave a note. I love you. I'm thinking of you. I am praying for you. And, you know, sometimes what has been helpful is I had a friend call me after I told her I had had a miscarriage, and she prayed. She just called, talked to me for a bit, and prayed over me. And that was just amazing. And, you know, you don't necessarily have the right words, but she just called and was like, God, like, we know you're the God of comfort. You comfort us, Lord. She just prayed over me and my body and our healing. And just, I think people are really timid to call and pray over people or even pray for them in person. But prayer, just that was so, so helpful to me. And being available to like listen, being available just to chat without like a strong inserted opinion in it, but just to hear their sadness. And a lot of the times the comforting things aren't necessarily like the words, but a lot of the times it's just a willingness to sit with you in your grief, which is very uncomfortable for people. Being willing to get in someone else's mud and not fix it, but just be there and sit there with the uncomfortable reality that loss is really hard. It's hard to navigate. It's messy. It's not always perfectly curated in the right thoughts, but just being there and sitting with them. You know, sometimes that's bringing a meal. And, you know, I'd messaged a couple of my close friends that I knew I could trust just to be there for me. And all of their responses were, we are so sorry. We are heartbroken with you. You know, we are here. We are with you. We are heartbroken. We are devastated of this loss you experienced. So not only did they let me know that they were both heartbroken with me, but they also validated the precious life that I'd carried. And they like celebrated and mourned that with me. So I wasn't isolated, but they were with me there in those emotions. And that was really helpful to have that. So, you know, I think a lot of the times people don't want to talk about the baby or talk about the name of the child or talk about the loss as like a loss. So we kind of just like brush over it. But for me, it was much more helpful and it was much more comforting when people acknowledged my loss for what it was, the loss of a precious human life who had value, who had purpose for the time they were here, and they were human. And I think a lot of the times, moms, when we lose a child, feel like people don't recognize the human value, the humanness, because you don't see it, because maybe you didn't know they were pregnant. but validating, yes, that child was precious, no matter the amount of time that you had them there for. And we see that and we celebrate it. And so just not brushing over it. And so the other thing that I found very comforting was just the meals that people brought me. And a lot of times people have a hard time accepting meals or accepting help. But, you know, whether it's just dropping off groceries on their porch, for me, I didn't have to make food the whole first week. I didn't have to make dinners for the whole first week that we had miscarried this time around. And last time I didn't have that because we didn't tell anyone because we were out of community. But if you have a community around you, I strongly just say share with them. They want to be there. They want to be able to support you. It might not always look perfect and they might not always say the right things. But that was just so helpful and that was so comforting, was those moms, you know, just lining up in a line basically of whatever day I had free, bringing a meal. And so often they also brought me a dessert. And it's one of those things of like, you know, a lot of times when you get a meal, it's just like a very basic, like, you know, salad, main, maybe, you know, like fruit or whatever, you know, taking the time to make me brownies or make sourdough cookie bars or putting tea bags into like the bag or granola bar, like really thoughtful things of just knowing, like, not only does my heart and mind need support right now, my body needs support too. And so that was really helpful and comforting as well. The other thing was, you know, I already talked about this a little bit, was friends being willing to just sit in the mud with me and not pushing me to talk, but, you know, they would bring over their meals and then, you know, they would hug me or they'd chat with me for a little bit if I was willing to hang out, being gracious and thoughtful with sitting with me as I chatted about it for a little while. Or, you know, not pushing for a lot of details if I didn't want to give them, but just being there talking about it. If I had questions, if I had anything I wanted to talk about, just being comfortable sitting there. And I think so often we're not very comfortable or know how to sit with people in their grief. And, you know, I always tell people this is why it's so important to have real life relationships, is because social media has also made it hard for us to like be natural and like hugging people and in holding their hands and praying with them. And something that I have done in the past, like, you know, of walking with a close friend of mine, I went over to her house. I just sat on her couch while she cried. And I said, it does suck. It is so sad. You know, letting them talk through the things that are going through her heads, even if you feel like it doesn't make sense, even if you know it's not necessarily spot on, not necessarily focusing on correcting all these bombardments of feelings, but just holding them and letting them cry, and then like getting them things that they might need. You know, if they need pads, if they need lunch or dinner, going to the grocery store and picking those things up, getting them chocolate, getting them flowers. I had a friend that just took my son for me for my doctor's appointment, and she had so much other things going on, and to this day it makes me like want to cry that I knew she had so much going on in her personal life, but she took my son because she knew that this was going to be a hard day. And then when she dropped my son off, the best thing she did for me was give me permission just to be real with her. Because so often when you're sitting in this uncomfortableness of grief, you almost feel like you have to put this mask on for other people to not make them feel uncomfortable, because seeing someone cry is uncomfortable, right? And she brought me flowers, which was very sweet of her. And she gave me a hug. She said, it's okay to be sad. It's sad. It is sad. And she just like wrapped me up in the biggest hug. And I just cried. And I was like, that was like the best thing you could do for me, was give me that permission of like, I can be real and honest with my emotions and it's not going to scare you. And a lot of the times we just don't know how to deal with those emotions. And so those are some things people have said to me. Those are some things that people did that were really comforting to me, that were really helpful. And, you know, there's never the right words to say. So I try to give you guys some kind of ideas of things to do because it's not necessarily about what you say. Obviously, you don't want to say the wrong things, but a lot of the times it's just sitting there, sitting with the feelings, sitting with the emotions, not necessarily correcting things, but being like, I love you. I'm so sorry this happened to you. This sucks. I am here for you. You know, can I pray for you? Can I rub your feet? Can I get you water? Just being the hands and feet of Christ and just loving on that person and just being there, being in the uncomfortableness and not shying away from it and letting them just be where they're at, letting them be honest and real and where they're at, and giving them a safe place to be able to do that. So those are just some things that I've experienced through my journey. Hopefully that could show you some things to maybe not say in the future. And you know, if you want to go to the Bible, you can even go to the Bible. There's so many verses about our God is well acquainted with sorrow. He is near to us in our suffering. He is our refuge. He is our strong tower. The weak run into him, you know, into the strong tower. A verse that was extremely comforting to me, and this is me as someone, this might not be comforting to everyone, but 2 Corinthians 1:3-5 is praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. And another chapter that I found really comforting was in Psalms. I was reading through Psalms, I want to say 32. I'm trying to find it here. I always try and keep my Bible on hand, but also my Bible app. Was it Psalms 31, I think. Let me flip here. Oh, yes. So Psalms 31 was very comforting to me. Into your hand I commit my spirit is what it's titled. And it was just very comforting to me. And there's so many different Psalms too. There's Psalms 33, which is a steadfast love of the Lord. Psalms 34, taste and see that the Lord is good. That whole chapter is really well. A lot of Psalms like are just nice to read over, even out loud. Just talk about God being there with us in these situations and how he protects us. And that's something that I would read aloud. And it was just so comforting to me. So those are some great chapters that you can read if you're like, I want some verse selections. There's just so many verses in the Bible that talk about God being our source of comfort and how he is afflicted with us that are afflicted in our suffering. And while some people, you know, depending on what stage you're working through, you know, anger, denial, whatever, whichever one you're working with, you know, or wrestling with, you can work through these things and find verses that can really comfort you in whatever stage of the journey you're in. So that's the podcast. Those are some things that were said to me. There are also like other horrible, awful things that people have said to them. Now, I am really fortunate that I did not experience that. No one said awful, mean things to me. But, you know, I found that working through these things that people said to me, learning how to have grace for people that just don't understand, but then learning how to forgive even when people are really nasty, or just knowing like they don't get it and that's okay. That doesn't take away my pain or the validity of what I'm going through, but just knowing, okay, this might not be a safe person to be around for this. I have learned just over the years of like, there's different people for different things. And sometimes that just means you know, Lord, forgive them for not knowing. And, you know, I've had people come back to me in different seasons saying, like, I'm so sorry I didn't understand in that season. Or I'm so sorry I may have done things that were really painful to you in that moment. And that's great if you get that. You don't often get those things. And that's okay because I've given grace, I've forgiven, I move on. So wherever you're at in your journey, I just hope that this could either be insightful for you or also comfort you or give you an idea of how to best support your friend in the future. Gifts are also great. I want to share one last thing before I go. And this is from two of my friends. One was from my in-laws and one was from a really close friend. They wrote me a card, and in it, both of them both gave me verses. But one was from my in-laws and one was from one of my closest best friends. And she just wrote a really nice card that gave me permission to feel what I was feeling and how much they loved us, but also reminded me of the promises of God. And this is what they said. I won't like reveal who they were, but Jessica, it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to feel all the emotions. Just keep your eyes on the Father and know that His promises are true. He cares for you. He also knows the pain you're feeling. I love you and I am here for you however you need me. And then on the back, she put some of her favorite verses. And then my in-laws also got me a really beautiful card that says, God bless you at this difficult time. And then they included two verses in their cards. They shared Isaiah 41:10, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you with my righteous right hand. And then they got me a gift. And the gift that they got me was, they know how much I love pajamas. They got me pajamas. And then they got me some chai tea latte, which they know I'm a huge tea drinker. And that was just such a blessing. And so hopefully those things can give you some ideas of how to support a friend who maybe is going through a really hard time. Just show up. Just sit there with them. Don't necessarily have to say anything. But, you know, don't necessarily ask them what they need, but just show up. Just be there. Sit in the uncomfortableness and pray over them, both while you're away from them and when you're with them. So before we go, I'm just going to pray. Dear God, thank you so much that you are a God who is close to the brokenhearted and you're close to us in our suffering. Thank you for our wounds, which allow us to comfort other people who are going through really hard times, Lord. I know that even though my hard time has been unpleasant and uncomfortable, it also gives me this really cool ministry that I get to glorify you in and come alongside other women who've experienced very similar things. So Lord, we just thank you for your mercy for us. We thank you that you are there for us and that your promises are true and we can hold on to them all of the time. And in Jesus' name, amen. Well, guys, thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you like this podcast, make sure to give us a rating. 5 stars, and I'm actually going to be starting a new little series of where I'm going to be trying to read a new review every week. So if you leave a review with your Instagram hashtag on there, I will be shouting you out in future podcasts. So make sure to leave that in the review box, and I can't wait to read you guys' reviews. And I'll see you guys next week, I guess. Bye, guys.